China is an arsonist who's now trying to turn around and put out the fire that it started.
China makes a goodwill image push. It's Tuesday, April 7th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Instagram and Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, U.S. foreign aid in flux. Doctors make video house calls. Creative mask making. Virus viral videos. And Dr. Fauci donuts. It's all on today's VOA Asia. China's foreign coronavirus aid is boosting Beijing's image with countries in need, according to analysts. But the outreach is paired with spreading false narratives that blame the United States for starting the pandemic and hiding the severity of the outbreak at home. VOA's Brian Patton reports on China's outreach at a time when the United States is slowing some medical foreign aid to focus on mitigating the outbreak at home first.
China is sending planes full of medical supplies to Spain, Italy, Malaysia, the Philippines, and even the U.S. to help prevent and treat the deadly coronavirus. The Chinese outreach analysts say is working to improve its image in parts of the world.
China's positive public diplomacy based on public goods, especially in the developing or less developed world, is probably going to accrue to China's soft power benefit.
However, China's good work, analysts warn, is also part of a broad propaganda campaign to mute criticism that the global pandemic was set back by the authoritarian government concealing the outbreak for weeks, punishing doctors and dissidents who raised alarm about the coronavirus threat, and undercounting cases. In recent weeks, Chinese officials have seized on a false narrative that the U.S. military brought the coronavirus to China, as scrutiny has grown over the origins of the outbreak that is threatening millions of people and trillions of dollars in global trade.
China is an arsonist who's now trying to turn around and put out the fire that it started. And do we really want them to get the credit for that?
The Trump administration's response, critics say, is also politically driven, publicly shaming China, calling the coronavirus the Wuhan virus, to shift blame away from Washington's initially slow response. Even though the U.S. is providing millions of dollars in aid to fight the deadly coronavirus worldwide, the White House is signaling that some protective equipment should not be sent abroad to prioritize domestic needs. China's COVID-19 coronavirus outreach and the U.S. focus on America first reflect in some ways the changing world order.
For the most part, the coronavirus has only exacerbated and accelerated trends that had been well in place before COVID-19 hit.
As Beijing strives to increase its global leadership role by adding coronavirus support to its $1 trillion international aid and investment fund, President Trump has been reducing foreign commitments to focus on the home front. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following us on Twitter. We're also on Instagram, YouTube, and on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can follow us as well at the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Japanese Prime Minister declares one-month state of emergency for Tokyo and six other prefectures. UN chief says coronavirus pressures leading to global surge in domestic violence. Why China is developing military vessels at the center of its coronavirus outbreak. Cambodian businesses remain open, double down on protections against coronavirus. Officials hopeful Australia is flattening COVID-19 curve. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. Now on VOA Asia, while admitting he wants to prioritize domestic needs, U.S. President Donald Trump denied placing a moratorium on overseas shipments of personal protective equipment, such as masks and gowns, to help other countries. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Sawara has the story.
Precious cargo of gloves, gowns, and masks is unloaded at JFK Airport in New York, the U.S. state hardest hit by the coronavirus. The website Politico reported the Trump administration stopped outgoing aid shipments of personal protective equipment.
Why would I stop that? Wouldn't that be terrible to stop it?
Is the U.S. stopping shipment of our own stockpile through USAID to other countries?
No, whatever we have, whatever we've committed to, we commit. But we also need a lot for ourselves, so we're very focused on that until we get over this. So obviously we're not going to be shipping too much.
The U.S. is asking countries, including South Korea, for testing kits and medical equipment. America has received, either through purchase or donation, supplies from several countries.
China sent us some stuff, which was terrific. Russia sent us a very, very large plane load of things, medical equipment, which was very nice.
United States health workers are in dire need of medical equipment, particularly ventilators and personal protective equipment, or PPE.
Our institutions are looking to our supply chain to try to make sure that the incoming PPE over the next 2 months will be sufficient, and there are uncertainties and anxieties about that.
While the U.S. focuses on its domestic needs, some analysts warn it cannot back away from its global leadership during this pandemic, particularly when China and Russia are eager to fill any void.
There's lots of things that we can be doing to help developing countries right now. We can help them by making small amount investments in public service announcements to make sure people are social distancing in developing countries, that they're washing their hands. There are things like supporting the creation of factories or supporting companies that are textile factories in Africa to make masks.
Last week, the U.S. pledged additional foreign aid to battle COVID-19, providing an initial $274 million in emergency assistance to more than 60 at-risk countries. That is in addition to funding that has been provided to multilateral groups, including the World Health Organization. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has declared a state of emergency for Tokyo and six other prefectures to fight against the coronavirus outbreak, but there will be no hard lockdowns. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, with the coronavirus pandemic nowhere near its end, for many patients, the risk of infection has made seeking treatment in hospitals potentially dangerous. This has led to telemedicine becoming more and more routine. Andre Dzarkach has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
As the coronavirus pandemic continues to spread around the globe, telemedicine is rapidly becoming a vital necessity. Thousands of hospitals in the U.S., Europe, and China now offer patients a chance to talk to healthcare providers via a video call.
Patients need to limit the number of their visits to the hospital and the time they spend waiting in lines, especially during a pandemic. An online consultation helps contain a pandemic and helps curb the spread of the virus.
But online doctors' visits do have their drawbacks. It makes an accurate diagnosis a bit more difficult. And some people have trouble making online call at all. But the latter problem can be easily fixed with telemedicine services like Teladoc, a virtual healthcare company based in the U.S. Teladoc representatives say the use of their platform has grown at least 50% in the last couple of weeks. Similar companies like DocSAP are also getting more and more popular.
We did two things. One, we built a platform that covers the capabilities to reduce friction when it comes to accessing the right provider. And then on the other hand, we created an ecosystem of providers and insurance companies coming together so that we can solve the problem more holistically.
Such platforms allow patients to easily schedule a consultation, change the appointment time, deal with health insurance details, as well as consult several specialists, all this within a short period of time.
Because what we are really looking for is how do we make it easy for the consumer to engage with the provider before the appointment and after the appointment. But then once they have seen the provider, how do we make sure that we collect feedback?
One of the main drawbacks of telemedicine is performing tests. But it is not impossible. A Texas mail order lab test startup company called Everlywell ended up being so successful in dealing with this challenge that it made a $1 million deal on ABC's Shark Tank. The service offers more than 30 types of lab tests. The most common ones are for hormone levels, food allergies, and cholesterol levels. HIV tests are also available, as are reproductive health and stress level ones. All these advances in telemedicine are coming at a good time.
The pandemic has become a forcing function for all of us to adopt these new methods. And I would imagine that this new method will become the new normal.
While telemedicine is expanding massively, roadblocks still exist, and they are enormous, getting it out to areas with little internet access and insurance billing. However, in the current situation, where most people are asked to stay at home, it may save a lot of lives. For Andrei Dzerkach in Washington, NRI's VOA News.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Authorities in Singapore have ordered the quarantine of nearly 20,000 migrant workers after a spike in COVID-19 cases were linked to two dormitories housing migrants. You'll find more online at VOA 60 and all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the coronavirus is quickly spreading across the United States, and frontline healthcare workers are facing critical shortages of surgical masks and respirators. To help tackle that problem, more Americans are sourcing a huge number of masks from overseas. VOA's Yunjing Cho has their story.
Tricia Ray Pendergrast is a first-year medical student in Chicago. Since mid-March, Pendergrast and fellow medical students have been delivering personal protective equipment, or PPE, to the front lines of the coronavirus epidemic.
UIC Health definitely appreciates you guys. Thank you.
Through online crowdsourcing platforms and community donations, the students secured funding for 30,000 respirator masks.
I mean, that means a lot. Being able to play a role in keeping, you know, people safe is a privilege, and that's kind of a privilege that defines being a physician.
Some doctors jump into the medical equipment supply chain themselves to secure protective gear for their colleagues in emergency rooms.
Literally watching our ER physicians going from one room to the next to intubate patients in the emergency room, put as much PPE on as you can, go in and intubate, come out and take it off, and then try to turn around and do it all over again.
On GoFundMe, there are hundreds of campaigns to provide highly protective masks to the hospitals across America. The majority of those masks come from China. Kara Daya runs a toy company. She was able to get 20,000 masks from China thanks to her business connections.
I contacted my manufacturer that I've worked with for 10 years in China, and she started helping me source masks. There's a lot of competition among buyers, and so you have to have cash in order to buy masks.
But some fail to buy masks even when they have cash.
Factory got shut down, surrounded by police, and the government shut it down before they were able to send our supply.
Her contact told Stone that the Chinese government is not allowing the factory to fulfill exports. Her contact is again offering to get supplies from the same factory if she can order more at a higher price.
I just feel like I need to do what I promised that I was going to do, or I need to give the money back. And I really don't want to have to give it back. I'd rather succeed and be able to help the healthcare workers in Austin.
Eunjung Cho, VOA News, Washington.
You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today. Hair and nail salons across New York City have been ordered to shut down, effectively putting thousands of stylists and technicians, many of them immigrants, out of work. While some are taking a wait-and-see approach, others are risking their health to meet with their clients privately. Tina Trin reports.
New Yorker Ron Maggio is getting a haircut and beard trim, but with hair salons across New York City ordered shut down due to the novel coronavirus, the question is, how? Enter Renee Gems, a barber who makes house calls.
Some of them weren't sure if it was safe enough for a barber to come to their house. But after a week, it was like, you know what, man, I need a haircut because my barbershop is closed.
Gems has been visiting customers in their homes despite statewide orders to stay at home. Each time, he sprays himself with disinfectant and dons a face mask and gloves. A few of Gary Clark's clients have also asked him to cut their hair at home, but he's not risking his health or theirs.
My idea is to really see if you can get some alternate financial assistance and kind of just wait it out.
In Clark's case, that also means waiting for local TV and film production to come back. His clients include celebrities and Broadway performers.
Some clients have been able to pay it forward just in a bit of gratitude as if they were getting their haircut. So when this does lift, I would certainly go out and service them.
Nail salons across the city have also been forced to close their doors. Amy Ling Lin owns Sundays, a nail care brand with 3 locations and over 50 employees.
They are the most vulnerable group of people in Sunday's family, all immigrants coming from different countries, from Nepal, from Ecuador, from Colombia, from China.
Lynn started a GoFundMe page and is donating 100% of gift card sales to her team.
Hi everyone, this is Amy.
She's created do-it-yourself kits and online tutorial videos as well.
This crisis definitely made me to do things faster, get out of my comfort zone. I used to overthink so much, and then just like right now, I'm just do it.
For these New Yorkers, resourcefulness and hustle are still very much in style. Tina Trin, VOA News, New York.
How dangerous is COVID-19? 80% of the cases are said to be mild. Young and healthy people are at a relatively low risk. Elderly and people with serious health conditions are at risk of fatality. If you have a cough, fever, and shortness of breath, contact a doctor and stay away from other people. For more information, visit the websites at the World Health Organization and the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control. A message from your friends at VOA Asia. We continue now with VOA Asia. Scientists, doctors, mayors, and governors, everyone emphasizes the importance of social distancing during the COVID-19 pandemic. But one American artist couple tried to pass the message across with a short animation video explaining why it is so important to stay at home during these challenging times. In just a day, the video went viral with millions of views and shares. Anna Nelson talked to the talented couple in this story narrated by Anna Rice.
This 12-second-long video has been watched millions of times around the world. A match catches fire, then the one next to it, and so on, until one match steps out of the line and the chain reaction stops. A 12-second-long animation proved more effective than many warnings, emphasizing the importance of social distancing in the time of the coronavirus pandemic.
We've been reading a lot of articles that are like very well thought out and very intelligent, and very long, and only for brainy people. We all have a lot more time nowadays, but still, we wanted to do something that is telegraphic. It takes 12 seconds to look at it.
Artists Juan Delcon and Valentina Isagira are married and spend their time between New York and Los Angeles. About a year ago, the duo started making short animation videos with matchsticks as main characters. It was not the couple's main project, but a fun tongue-in-cheek gig. As the coronavirus epidemic started to grow and turned into a pandemic, the couple wanted to give up on the silly project, but then Valentina had an idea.
I come into the office and said, like, hey, we got to do this right now because this is like a very telegraphic, very simple way to communicate a very strong message. So we started right away.
By the end of the day, it was already viral. It was pretty quick.
It's been a crazy week for us. because, you know, we're confined at home, but we've never been so social. We've never been this social before.
They happily talk to journalists on Skype from the safety of their home. They say they only leave the house to go to a pharmacy or get groceries, while their matchsticks continue to be burned in millions of online accounts. They understand that what is happening is hard to understand.
If they don't see anybody coughing, you see the news like, oh, it's only like 1,000 people. I mean, in a state of 32 million people, that is nothing. They don't understand that if every day doubles, very little time is those 1,000 people are going to be 10,000 people, 30,000 people, 100,000 people. It's happening.
Delkin says it's not the sight of the usually hectic and busy New York City streets that he finds frightening. He would have been terrified if nothing changed in the city. Emptiness is the new norm, the artist believes, and every one of us has the power to become that one matchstick that steps out, stopping the deadly chain reaction. For Anna Nelson in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
We invite you to read more by following us on Twitter at VOA Asia. We're also on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also see us on the voanews.com website. As COVID-19 cases multiply daily, people are looking for comfort and reassurance that better days lie ahead. And what better place to find such solace than on a donut? Not just any donut, but one with Dr. Anthony Fauci's face on it. VOA's Penelope Palou spoke with the donut maker, Nick Semeraro, about his source of inspiration.
Yes, we feel that the mitigation that we're doing right now is having an effect.
Since 1984, he has been America's chief immunologist, serving under five presidents, and now, as many call him, he is the scientific voice of reason on how to deal with COVID-19. Americans watch his TV briefings for reassurance, and now they can have him on a donut and eat it too. The person behind this confection gone viral, Nick Semeraro, owner of Donuts Delight.
Donuts are an American treat. They always have been. Well, he's an American hero, so what amazing pairing right there.
Semeraro says he and his baking crew in Rochester, New York, tried other ideas before the Fauci donuts caught on like a wildfire.
They actually started off with just blue sprinkles for the medical field. You got to do red, white, and blue because you have to show American pride.
He says within 48 hours since their first batch, the donuts went viral on social media.
We're getting flooded with phone calls of stories. Of stories and thank yous and how many people he saved his life or the impact they had. A lot of he deserves it, an amazing man. You know, his colleges is calling, his colleagues are calling, other doctors locally in our area that know him are just overwhelmed. They're all buying the donuts in support, so it's good to see the support he has around him.
He's also thankful for the unexpected business he got in the middle of this crisis.
So we don't have to lay anybody off because that's tough, you know. As a business owner, I've got a lot of sleepless nights with the fact that we have a lot of families we feed. You know, we have 54 employees here that rely on me. Their families rely on me. Their incomes, their house, their mortgage, their rent, their groceries all rely on something we do here. So it's not just about me and the business or a donut. This is everybody as a whole.
All uniting behind Dr. Fauci against the virus. Penelope Palou, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You can find us on many different platforms online, like Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook at VOA Asia. And we invite you to see and read more as well on our website at voanews.com, where we keep you up to date by the minute on all the latest developments with the coronavirus outbreak. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.